Just relax completely, body and mind, and maintain some form of awareness within. Then stabilize the awareness. Stabilize the awareness. Then after that, you can continue to let the silent mind stabilize. And when it stabilizes, you can use it to meditate, to develop understanding. So awareness-based meditation, the main intent is very simple, to develop the awareness within. So if you can understand that, then the four support will fall into place and you will understand why we need the four support to bring about this mind, which is the silent mind in true awareness, to develop the awareness-based meditation. We will continue your sharing. We are at page 279 of this book, The Wonderful Dhamma, Lotus Flower Sutta. We are at the Sutta part. Manjushri. Again, a bodhisattva who after the Buddha crossed into extinction, means parinibbana, make offerings to the Shariryas. Shariryas are the relics. Again, as seen, the Buddha's disciple building stupas, building temples, countless as the Ganges sand, to adorn those rhyme and lands. The jewel stupa, tall and fine, are 5,000 yojana in height, 2,000 yojana in breadth. Each stupa and temple is adorned with 1,000 curtains and banners, circling around and wrought with jewels or gems and jewel bells, which harmoniously chimes. All the devas, gods, dragons and spirit, humans and non-humans, with incense, flower and instrumental music, constantly make offering. Manjushri, all the Buddha's disciples adorn the stupa and the shrines, making offering to the relics, shariras, spontaneously. The rhyme and land are superbly fine and exquisite, like the king of heaven, the trees, when its flowers bloom. So that is the Sutta partner. Then we go to the commentaries. The subheading is about asking about the offerings of the relics of Shariras. Commentaries. In this passage of text, Maitreya Bodhisattva continues his questioning of Manjushri Bodhisattva concerning the various states which the Buddha caused to manifest within the white hair monk life. The Buddha had revealed six potents, but Maitreya Bodhisattva did not know the causes and conditions which underlay them. Actually, it is certainly the case. Maitreya Bodhisattva was not unaware of them. He deliberately requested the Dhamma for the sake of living beings. This is called manifesting a great provisional device. He said, Manjushri, again, a Bodhisattva who, after the Buddha crossed into extinction or parinibbana, after all the Buddha have completed the stillness, have entered Nirvana, the Bodhisattva make offering to the relics or Shariras. The word Sharira means efficacious bone or relics, and they represent the true body of the Buddha, whilst they remain after the Buddha's cremation. When people make offering to the Buddha's relic, is the same as making offering to the Buddha. So this one is the explanation by Master Xuan Hua and the Sutta. But in actual understanding, we can also deduce it, because our physical body, there are a lot of bones, and also, of course, water element, the flesh, the organs, and many other things, cartilage and whatever. So because this physical body is the vehicle of the Buddha, the Sammasambuddha, so after he has developed enlightenment, after he has perfected himself, and the night underneath the Bodhi tree, when Sakyamuni Buddha connect with her nature, then this physical body of Sakyamuni Buddha became like fully enlightened. And during that time, his nature manifests a lot of beautiful energy and also vibration because of the wisdom and the virtue that was generated through eons and eons and eons of perfection. Then when this understanding and nature's energy drop by, the whole of the nature within can cause a lot of transformation within the physical body, especially when it connects through the gateway. Then the yin yang energy, they will melt inside and become pure energy. Then all these energy, they are very, very pure, wholesome and beautiful. And because of the vibration and the energy and the condition behind, the whole physical body, especially the bones, they carry that vibration. That's why when the physical body is being cremated after the Buddha's parinibbana or extinction, relics will appear. And these relics are depending on the cultivator and the individual. There are many different types. Some are thought-based energy field, not the real wisdom-based one. Awareness based on. So it depends. But for the Sammasambuddha, theirs is pure wisdom and virtue. So the relics of the Sammasambuddha, their vibration are very beautiful. It can help cultivators of the way. It can help practitioners, whoever. That can draw on the vibration, then it will manifest in a way that it can actually complement their need. Then through this, that's why many people who has the faith, the affinity, and the understanding, they can detect this type of pure vibration or energy, and they can draw. And when you draw, your nature will know, means there are great beings around. Your nature is around. That's why this vibration, they stay with the relics. So this is a more precise understanding of how come the relics can have such efficacies. That's why they mentioned these bones are efficacy bones. They are very efficacy. A lot of very amazing efficacy. So this is how when we develop the faith, sadha is most important. Then we can draw. That's why when we have our retreat, or our spiritual trip when we travel, or even at our way place where we meditate, or conduct our classes. All these vibrations around, they will manifest. But you need to have the understanding and the cultivation in order to detect and draw. Then from there, we can manifest our own. Then through the collective consciousness, because sometimes we kaya mita, we move as a group, we come together as a group, class and all those things. That's why we prefer, if possible, to have the physical class. It will help if there's a lot of different. When you are here, it's different again. So this coming 7th, which is 5 more days from now, the next Tuesday class, is the 7th. And the 7th of June is our first physical class. For Tuesday class first, we try out for physical class. For Tuesday class first, then we see how it goes. So if everything goes on well, then Thursday class can also have their physical class. So now the only concern is parking. Parking is an issue. Then the second thing is maybe we can overcome parking by carpool and all those things. But the second more pertinent issue is the traffic jam, because traffic condition has returned more or less to pre-pandemic. So if you want to come for the physical class, you may have to come earlier. Yeah. So then we can meet here if you all want to arrange for dinner or what, then you let me know. Yeah, we have to do it earlier. Otherwise, we won't make it in time. Huh? But the best is come early. Yeah? And we have our potluck, our usual potluck thing. So that more and more Kayamita can get to gather and interact with each other than like before. Huh? The class is very different. We can have the puja offering, physically offering the puja, rejoicing, developing the faith. Then when the class starts, the collective energy around, together with the nature's energy, many beautiful happenings can arise. That's why physical class, in a way, if we can have it, will be beneficial. Then after that, the sharing will be different too. When you are around, you interact, you can ask whatever question. Then it's more informal. Then we can share, we can discuss, we can participate in all this Dhamma sharing. So these are the usual benefits that will come when we have back our physical class. Then after the class, normally there is a lot of fruits, a lot of nice small item food where you can have. And some of this you can take back if there is surplus. Especially my wife will go and buy the brown banana. I think Mita knows. Bananas are very nice, very special. It's from the Pasar Malam. But because there's no physical class for the last 1 over year, that's why my wife also didn't buy. Otherwise, nobody eat. We can only take maybe 2 or 3. Last time she buy a lot, maybe 4 to 5 kg or what. Time. But these bananas were nice. And other Kayamitas also bring very nice potluck sharing of food. Some are kueh and then some cook. Some of them cook nice mihun and all those things. So these are the things that happen. So hopefully the Thursday Oh, sorry, the Tuesday class, we can start on the 7th again. Then we see how it goes. Then maybe after that, the Thursday class can revert back to physical class too. But we will have both the thing. The Zoom will still be there. Then the physical class will be there. Then we see how the adjustment is like. If it's back to normal, then I think Jinhao can have more scope. He will use a camera to do the video shot. Last time, early days, the camera video shot that he did was very good. Focusing on having the audience and all those things. It was doing pretty well. Then, of course, the pandemic came. Then we have to stop them. But luckily, it's a blessing in disguise because of the pandemic. We were forced to, the word forced is not coercing. You got no other choice, really. That's why you have to move in that direction. And that is what we mean by forced to move in that direction. So because of the pandemic, we had to come up with innovative ways to share, to have the classes. So of course, no more physical class because of the SOP and all the stringent requirement to curb the spread of the virus. So what the world come up with also was very effective. In fact, a lot of very innovative product came about. Even the e-wallet, the Zoom, and many of these skillful ways or means of adapting to the pandemic starts to evolve and come out and take off quite fast. So we have our logistic company doing deliveries. So all the food, people can still buy them through deliveries and all the things. That's why otherwise we won't move into it. Then it gives rise to employment, jobs and all the things. Of course, the adverse effect of the pandemic is a lot of people were affected. They were forced to shut down their business and retrenchment was very common at the time. But it's also a blessing in this kind in the sense that we get to experience such civilization, such sudden change in the way we live our life. That's why they call it a new normal. We have to adjust because of circumstances, because of condition. So Dhamma is the same. Dhamma is not rigid. Dhamma is not static. Dhamma is alive. Life itself is the Dhamma. So when we understand Dhamma, we will understand life. Well, everything is in a state of flux. Everything is evolving, moving, changing, transforming. This is what nature is. Like my teacher, he used a very good description. He said, only mighty nature rolling by. No reality, not what you think. Everything arises and passes away, come and go, certain phenomena is very fast, certain phenomena take a while. But if you are mindful, you are aware, if you have the silent mind, the awareness, you can understand, you can witness, you can develop a lot of understanding, and through that, the joy will arise. The faith will arise. This is what Dhamma is. Without all this evolving, moving, we can't see. The way things manifest is not within the scope of normal human brain. Our human brain is always very rigid. We cling on to the past. We expect the past to repeat itself. That's why they call it history. The rise and fall of civilization, of empires, of governments. We witness that. But then, when we develop the understanding, we realize the causes and conditions behind. Fundamentally, is the same essential Dhamma, like the three evils of greed, hatred, and delusion that caused the economic crisis, financial crisis, war, disruption in many things, like what is happening to the world. So when you are observant and mindful, when you have the Dhamma understanding, then you can understand. Then we can accord and flow. We can integrate. We can develop clear, beautiful understanding. And this is what we need to develop as a cultivator of the Buddha Dharma, so that we are not rigid. We are not like conditioned by our views, opinion, and memories. All this binds the living beings, the individual, the form and mind. That's why acting according to memory is not acting at all. That statement, you must contemplate, reflect, and go into it and understand clearly what memory is all about and why I say that. Acting according to memory is not acting at all. Even J. Krishnamurti also understand that. But he didn't teach the second part. If we don't act according to memory, then how are we as an individual going to act? That's why as Buddhists, we act according to wisdom, following the Dhamma way, having right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right understanding. That is the way to act. Acting according to understanding, which is wisdom. And the Dhamma way is what wisdom is all about. Dhamma is true. When you understand Dhamma, you understand truth. You understand the nature's law that governs life and existence. That's how everything falls into place. That's how the teaching is relevant to life. Life itself is our greatest teacher. So all this will become clear to you. It will sound beautiful, amazing. Then life becomes meaningful, wonderful. So this part is the added sharing for today. And remember, the physical class starts next Tuesday, which is 7th of June onwards. Then hopefully we can get together and more and more Kayamita can come and do the actual physical puja. The puja offering is very useful and very joyful too. Then we can have our full chanting instead of just the short chanting. Full chanting means we invoke power merits because of the puja offering. So all these are in our chanting book. Then when we go through this, it will evoke more wholesomeness towards kilometers and cultivators of the way. Okay, go back to the sharing. Making offering to the Buddha, to the Dhamma jewel, is also the same as making offering to the Buddha. So the triple gem are actually pointing towards the same thing. The Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha. These are the triple gem. Why? Because these are the very rare gemstones. Gems are precious stones, but the gemstones are the most precious among the precious stones. That's why they are very rare. So when we call the triple gem, the gems, means they are the most beautiful among the precious stones. That's why they call it the gemstone. Which means the Buddha Dharma and the Sangha, they are very rare indeed. To find them, to come across them, to have affinity with this triple gem is a very, very rare thing. Because like the Buddha under the Dhammapada verse, he mentioned, there is no other refuge save except the triple gem. He said, not even in the mountains or in the temples or in the spiritual place. Is refuge safe? The only refuge safe is the triple gem. Because only within the triple gem can you find the truth, the true teachings. If you encounter the first gem, Sammasambuddha, they definitely have the teachings because they have perfected the wisdom and the virtue to become Sammasambuddha. Then the second gem is, of course, the true teachings, the true Dhamma, as proclaimed by the Buddha, as taught by the Buddha and all the great beings. This one is definitely the genuine teaching. That's why it's called the Buddha Dharma. Then the third gem is the Aryan Sangha, the enlightened disciples of the Buddha. They surely have the teaching because they are the enlightened disciples of the Buddha. So any of these triple gems, if you can come into contact with them and develop affinity, you are greatly blessed. And you are like amazingly blessed and lucky. That's why here it said, making offerings to the Dhamma jewel is also the same as making offering to the Buddha. And making offering to the Sangha jewel is also the same as making offering to the Buddha. But they are all connected. They all have the Dhamma. All you have to do is to bring forth the resolve and be true to the extreme. So this one is like what I said. Bring forth the resolve means the faith, the tenacity, the virya, and all those things, the sadha and virya. And be true to the extreme means sincere. Yeah. Without the slightest bit of default talk means persevere. What is meant by default talk? Is to make offering to the triple gem in the hope of obtaining something in return. There is a divine power. There is a motive behind. Yeah? That's not making offering with a true heart. That's why your pure intent, your sincerity is very important. When you are sincere, the way will be there. Means you seek the Dhamma. Not because you want to become famous. Not because you want to gain and benefit from it. No. That's why sincerity of purpose under the four foundations of mindfulness is explained there very clearly. Sincerity of purpose. There are a lot of important understanding behind. When you have sincerity of purpose, means your purpose is to develop this cultivation to realize enlightenment so that you can free your mind, liberate your mind, then be a blessing to all, not to deviate, to develop psychic ability, to become famous, to become like egoic, selfish. So all these are very detrimental to cultivation. You don't have sincerity of purpose, you will deviate. You will deviate. You will go off tangent. And you will get yourself entangled with thought-based meditation, energy field, evolving into psychic ability. Then you have all the division, fighting, argument. Then people challenge you. And unending all this. So sincerity of purpose is very important. If you are sincere, you won't go wrong. Then people tell you, wow, this meditation, this teacher, this teaching, what. You straight away can check, is that what you are looking for? Enlightenment. If it's wisdom, virtue, understanding, yes, cultivate it. If it's psychic, special ability, like can read people's mind, can pull their those things, can levitate through space, you ask yourself, if you develop all those skills, is it going to transform you wisdom-wise, understanding-wise? Is your life going to be more peaceful, more harmonious with society, with humanity, with everything that you have relationship with? Will it reduce, help you to reduce your suffering, your misery? Will it elevate your understanding of life, allow you to live life, truly live life, beautifully and meaningfully? So these are the questions we need to inquire. That's why sincerity of purpose will prevent you from going the wrong way, from deviating. Without that sincerity of purpose, you become gullible. You become attracted to what people tell you. Oh, then, because of greed, you want shortcut. So a lot of people actually fall for it. Because you don't want to put in the faith, the energy, the virya, and you don't even really want to persevere. You just want shortcut. Tell me, what is the fastest way? Is there any magic behind? Then you believe and you go and do all those funny things. So these are the understanding that will enable the cultivator the way to keep themselves safe when they are developing the cultivation. That's why sincerity is very important. Sincerity of purpose, pure intent, is to develop wisdom, to liberate the mind, and be a blessing to all. That's it. No selfishness, nothing. Okay, we go back to the sharing. Okay. All of you have to do is bring forth the resolve. So this one we have gone through. And be true to the extreme without the slightest bit of default thought. So what is meant by default thought? We already say with ulterior motive. Means lack of sincerity. That is not making offering with a sincere true heart. When you make offering to Triple Gem, you should feel making offering is my responsibility, my duty. Why? This is very good advice. I think here is more like gratitude. You say, I have food to eat. So it's a gratitude. The kindness the Buddha showed towards living beings is limitless and boundless. Dhamma's kindness to living being is limitless and boundless. And so is the Sangha's kindness. If the Triple Gem did not dwell in the world will be completely destroyed. Why? Because if the Triple Gem was not present, the Demon King would come into the world and destroy it. So all these are the understanding. So when you make offering, you must have sincerity. So in making offering to the Triple Gem, we should think, I eat every day. If no one make offering to the Triple Gem, how could I possibly swallow my food? As one of the Buddha's disciples, I should protect and uphold the Triple Gem and cause it to be free from all difficulties. Therefore, making offering to the relics, Shariras, is just one of the ways of making offering to the Triple Gem. The other thing is also Dhamma protectors. They are called Dhamma protectors because they protect the Dhamma from disappearing from this whole system of ours. So as cultivator of the way, practitioner of the Dhamma, the Buddha Dhamma, we are all protecting the sasana, upholding the sasana, so that this teaching can continue to flourish and remain in the world. The Saitama protector were trying to protect you. And most of these Dhamma protectors are beautiful beings. Most of them are devas who are also cultivators of the way, especially the way tall Pusa. He is one of the greatest of all the Dhamma protectors. And because of him, I think during the sasana, we were blessed by the Dhamma protectors. That's why as cultivator of the way, you are also one of the cultivator or practitioner that maintain the sasana, that enable the sasana to continue to flourish so that this Buddha Dhamma will continue to stay in the world. That's why Dhamma protector will protect us. And the other reason is also every time we do the sharing, we do the spiritual activity or cultivation, we will share merits, transfer merits, and dedicate merits for all beings. That's why they will rejoice. So all this chanting, all this cultivation, the sharing, everything, has been laid down and taught by Sakyamuni Buddha. That's why we inherit them, and they are so beautiful. Okay, I'll read on. Again, as seen, Buddha's disciple building stupas, building temples. So this is the title from the sutra and the commentary. I read them. Stupas are places where people may come make offering to the Buddha's relics, because normally the cultivator, the enlightened beings' relics, especially the Buddha's relic, which is very rare, they are enshrined in all the stupas. So wherever you see stupa, you must make it a point to make reverential salutation. We call it, we pay respect and homage to the stupa, because it's like making offering to the relics within the stupa. That's why we were taught to chant this, Vandama Chetiyan Sambam. Vandami Chetiyan Sambam. Sabatanesu patetetan saririke datu mahabohim buddha rupa sakalasada. So the Buddha has taught us to chant this. Vandami means we pay respect to all the stupa, chetiya, all the chetiya, the stupa. Sambam means everywhere. And saririke datu mahabohim. So saririke are the relics. Then Buddha Rupang Sakalang Sada. All the Buddha Rupang that we can recall to mind, the virtues of the Buddha and his perfection of wisdom. So all these are the four objects of veneration that we must venerate, we must pay respect, to develop affinity, to cultivate strong bond. That's why we chant Pandami Chetiyam Sambam Sambatanesu Patitetam. Then, of course, in between is Saririke and Tatu Maha Bohim, the great Bohi tree too. And Buddha Rupang, the Buddha form or image, Sakhan Sadam. So wherever you see this four object of veneration, you should pay respect. You should offer your sincere veneration with faith. So all these are very good understanding practices. That's why when we go to spiritual place, we will chant. Then we will normally go around the stupa three times. Then we rejoice. And there was one China tree, I remember, where we even chant the Heart Sutta, then followed by Da Pei Zhou, the great compassionate mantra. So all this were done because they were convenient, and that two stupa were very beautifully built, the energy. Very fine wisdom energy. So when you can feel, when you can draw, when you can understand, you should rejoice too. Then silently we venerate, we pay respect. So this is some good understanding that you must develop. Temples are used for making offerings to the Buddha. Rupang or images. For example, Tianho Temple. Oh, they also know about Tianho Temple. Oh, this refer to the one for Chen, I think. The Master Xian, whatever. Tianho Temple here, the Buddhist lecture hall, is a place where many spirits are worshipped. And so it is called a temple. In this case, we are making offering to many Buddhas, as countless as the Ganges said. They do not build one stupa or temple and leave it at that, but they build limitless, countless, numberless or numerous of them, as many as the Ganges said, to adorn those rhymes and land so that they are extremely beautiful. Then we move on to the next part of the sutta. The jewel stupas, tall and fine, are 5,000 yojanas in height. How tall is that? One small yojana is 40 miles. Wow. That one is really tall. A medium-sized yojana is 60 miles. A big yojana is 80 miles. So how tall would 5,000 yojana be? Oh, that's really, really tall. Long ago, when the Buddha was in the world, the following incident took place. There was at that time a freak. He was wider than he was tall. He had 5 feet across. He was 5 feet across and only 2.5. Not quite 3 feet tall. Do you think he was attractive or not? He was probably about 2 feet 9 inches or so. It looked like a frying pan. But the sound of his voice was extremely resonant and clear. It sounded like a bell. People did not understand what causes and effect were at work with him. And they asked the Buddha. The Buddha smiled and said, in the past, limitless kapas ago, he was also a Buddhist disciple. At that time, someone bought for the resort to build a jewel stupa, which was to be extremely tall. The man said, why build such a tall stupa? People won't even be able to see the top of it. For crying out loud, What use is such a tall one? If you build a stupa, build one and have done with it. Such a big one is really, in my opinion, utterly useless. Well, I will contribute a little something, not a whole lot. I will contribute the bell to put on top of the stupa. And that's just what he did, because he said that one sentence, why build such a high jewel stupa? Don't make it so tall. So in every life, he was born as a doer, never over 3 feet tall, because he had contributed the bell. His voice was extremely clear and resonant and sound like the chiming of the copper bell. So a lot of things in life, especially law of karma, you don't think it's funny. Don't simply say things, don't simply comment. The best is golden silence. Keep your mouth quiet. Don't simply open your mouth when you've got nothing good to say or nothing wholesome to share. So this one is, I think, a good lesson to be learned. At least he donated the bell that gave him the credit of the very nice voice. That's why a lot of things has karmic consequences. You don't play a fool. Don't simply comment. Speech, especially speech. Sometimes the thought of it is already coming. When I was about to finish my first year university study, that time I was still studying. Then suddenly one day, I had this thought, where they were discussing about motorbikes, how skillful one can be. And that time I was very proud, because I can really drive the motorbike very well with one hand. Sometimes both hands also don't need to hold the handles. The moment I want to say that, straight away, I knew coming already. Then I didn't say. You know what happened? The next day, I went out to Brakefield, and on the way back to University Blair, I drove the old Federal Highway. There were two potholes, very big. That time, I was still holding on to the handle. I didn't let go of my hand. Because of the pothole, my hand went off and I fell. That's how I knew. From there onward, I very careful. I knew certain things you cannot say. Well, that nature inside knows. It already warned me. Say la le. That's why that time I was doing the cultivation because of my nature. The sign come very fast. It show it to you until you know what Dhamma is. Like I always say, Bokalo Bo Seo Sina in Hokkien. It will show it to you until you will not be able not to believe it. But that is the way nature is. So bear this in mind. I experienced it myself. That's why I knew all these things. That's why I certain time of speech, my nature know. There were many other incidents when people start to say all those. Then the moment it manifests, my nature knew. Then I even try to forgive that person. But coming is coming. One of them, I told you, the store guy, hawker store that sold me the soup. And because of small misunderstanding, he coming, so he say all those things. He doesn't know that I'm a practitioner cultivator. Then when he say that, my nature knew already. I told the son, I said, never mind, tell your father, I will pay. Then said that. The next day, I didn't see him. But luckily, he didn't die. He actually got a stroke. And 6 months, he was not able to attend restore. The wife attend restore. And one day, I think I passed by. And I heard people ask the wife, what happened to your husband? Oh, he said he got a stroke. Then luckily, after 6 months later, I saw him coming back to the store. He recovered a bit, but still like very, very weak and very dull. Like still cannot understand a lot of things, not normal. Then I think because I sent some pure wish to, I say forgive him for he don't know what he's doing, ignoring the cause. If there are causes and conditions, let him recover. It seems later on, I think after another few months, he slowly recovered and he started to mend the store again. That's why I was full of joy. So things do happen. Be careful. I read on. Each stupa and temple is adorned. Oh, who already? This one. Sorry. I have to go back to the top. From this, we can see that people cannot just talk casually. Yeah, this is very true. If someone wants to build a big temple and you go there and say, why build such a big temple? If you make a smaller one, it will be still a temple. In future, you will be very small. People with small bodies should bring forth a big result. I'm going to build a very big temple. And in the future, you will get a big body. That's the record for your consideration. Don't just say whatever you say, you please. If people are building a temple or a jewel stupa, take care not to go there and criticize it, saying that it is too tall or too short, too big or too small. The best is to rejoice. And contribute or make offerings. So all these are understanding. If you had the understanding, you are okay. If you don't have the understanding, be careful. That's why karma is not for you to say whether this is possible or not. If you don't go through, you don't understand. If you are not a cultivator of the way, you don't understand. My nature had the understanding. I know a lot of things is coming. That's why no matter what you do, you cannot escape. So the first thing we need to do is to ask for forgiveness, to repent. That's why in the yellow card, the Bodhisattva vow, I teach you all to break the coming obstruction. First from the triple jhana. And from all beings, and from all other coming obstruction that are not covered under the top two or three that we have recited. Because if you don't do this, the coming obstruction, when they come, there are many layers. It really obstruct you, until. Unless you meet someone who has understanding, you cannot break free. It's not easy. Even Pauline's case, you look at her, you know already. She was very lucky to clear all those hurdles. So all this understanding are very important. I read on. Each stupa and temple is adorned with 1,000 curtains and banners circling around, and wrought with gem and jewel bells with harmonious chime. Circlet curtains are streamers of netting which are cylindrical in shape and hung from the ceiling. They may be embroidered with flowers, or they may have interstices in them. Panels are streamers made of cloth and hung before the Buddha as an adornment. When the wind blows, the little bells ring, and all the dragon gods and spirits, human and non-human, with incense, flowers, and instrument, the music, constantly make offering. Incense refer to various types of incense. They use this thing to make offering to the Triple Gem. Manjushri Bodhisattvas, all the Buddha's disciples adorn the stupa and the shrine, make offering to the relics. Spontaneously, the rime and land are superbly fine and exquisite, like the king of heavenly tree when its flower bloom. When the flower of the heavenly king of tree blooms, they are extremely beautiful and wonderful. Okay, we stop here. This is the sutta part. So now we will continue with the second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have, the Q&A session, and also any sharing by any Kayamita who wants to share their experience of cultivation Dhamma in daily life, you can.
Good evening, Brother Teo.
Yeah.
Mrs. Teo and all Kalamitas. What should I talk about today? Okay.
Do you have any question or anything to share about today's topic?
Okay, today's topic, like you were saying, that when we make offerings to
Triple Gems.
Yeah, there has to be sincerity.
Yeah.
And of course, be mindful of what we say and do. Virtue, I find that is really very important because of our conditioning, or should I say my conditioning, a lot of times it may be from my initial conditioning where I am very cynical, right?
Correct, yes.
And,
you know the Dhamma, yeah.
And I could have easily said like what the short guy did. Why do you need to make such a big temple and all that? Actually, that was precisely that came across my mind. I say, you see, there are so many temples. they built temples after temples, bigger and bigger. is that due to our ego, or is it because of the sincerity to make
the
such
human
a magnificent
mind,
offering to the whatever we believe in, you know?
Yeah.
So like what the Dharma says, we have to be very careful with our thoughts, you know.
Yes.
As we do not know what karmic
consequences that
karmic consequences
that may be triggered from what people who are deluded say. Like you use the word cynical, is very true, because deluded people are very cynical. Sometimes they think it's a joke. They make fun of it. So that joke has its coming. Because when you say something that is against a virtuous wholesome action, the karmic can be very severe without that person knowing it. So a lot of things in life, in nature, unless you are a cultivator of the way, you don't understand all this. That's why sometimes you cannot simply say things. Even as a kid, when young, I have seen before some of the children, the kids, when we were playing in the, you call it the secondary forest or one of the bush area, the kampung area, you know, you run around. And some of these are, I think, small trees, they have devas, and they don't know. They go and simply say things, make fun and all those things. Then they get into trouble when they go home. And there was one guy in a Chinese temple where they were medium doing the chanting, the medium chanting, the invoke that they did to take over the body, the medium's body, and help to heal people and let people develop the understanding and faith to actually recover from their whatever disease, sickness, and mainly due to karmica. So they were not careful, I remember. When we walked in as a group, I think four of our yogis, three of them saying a lot of very negative, vulgar things. Yeah. Then when we went out, not long after that, we actually went out back to the main road where there is a federal trunk road from Alastair to Penang. It seems when he want to cross over to the outside the river there to don't know, look at something or to maybe see whether the tide is high or not, can swim or not. They all landed, three of them all kena accident, banged by a passing vehicle. That's why I cannot simply say things. And there are also many other incidents. So coming, we have to be very careful. So like PJ gave the very good example is, he said before she know the Dhamma, she tend to be very cynical, and these are the things she know already, likely she will say, but luckily, no conditions for it. That's why it doesn't really manifest. But especially when people develop wholesomeness to do certain things, do not simply comment. That's why nothing to do, better keep quiet. Golden is silent is golden. Unless you have the Dhamma, you have the understanding, you can speak tactfully and with understanding, with wholesomeness, then no problem. Otherwise, we really do have to watch our speech. Speech and thought process, they are very powerful. Sometimes the thought itself is strong enough to cause this type of thing. So you need to go through the cultivation to understand all this. All this, a lot of this that I understand this line was inherited from my past cultivation. That's why I can sense things, I can feel things, and things that are coming, manager can sense and know. Then a lot of things, people who don't have the understanding, they may not understand. That's why in the early day, I told you all, I was reluctant to come out to share it because I knew these are the people who normally stay at the back of the Dhamma class or Dhamma session. Like you go to temple, if somebody come and give a talk, it can be a monk or lay people or whatever, then normally at the back of the audience, there are some the type of comment you hear, you really knew the comment can be very severe, but they don't know who the speaker is. So at that time, I already knew all these things will happen. And what I have understood and realized is almost the opposite of what the Buddhist norm believed to be the true teaching or the true practice. That's why I was reluctant to come out to share. I keep on telling you, Chan rejected for three occasions. I said, never mind, let things be. Unless there is condition, no point. Because the concern is not to cause unnecessary karmic obstruction to people, where people may not understand. That's why after the third time I rejected her request, my nature suddenly arise and tell me, hey, it's about time you come out to share, because it's already 89 to 2004, 15 years already. I have been lying low, didn't do anything. And just like what the Buddha went through, somebody told him, there are some with little dust that can understand what you say. And my concern is more of those who cannot understand, simply sitting at the back. Well, I'm just a lay person, not in anything, nor of nothing. And that's the way it has to be. So because of that, my nature had to reflect and contemplate. That's why the three conditions that I wrote in the website. I said to Yunjan, we can have it, the class and the sharing, but I want these three conditions to be accepted. Then we can go ahead and call it Dhamma sharing, not a one-way traffic with authority. Then no right, no wrong. Then we make use of whatever that is beneficial. And everyone just move. And this is genuine sharing. Yeah. So that's how all this started. Mm. Very good, eh? PJ. You continue. Yeah, Sadhu.
Yeah, Bratio, perhaps I will talk about our visit to
Kachara.
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 Kachara. It's my first time there. I've seen the Facebook.
Oh, you have seen the Facebook. Oh, I didn't read anything about it. I was also there for the first time.
And the present building that they are constructing is the relic. I don't know what's the building they call it, but I know it's for the relics.
Mm-hmm. There is a stupa inside.
So, like you say, they do ask for, they did mention that if you want to make contribution, donation to this building, you can do the following, you know, like how much for whatever items that they can be placed in the building. Then, as usual, when you look into the comment section, there are many people who with this type of comments which says that, well, if you cannot afford to construct a building with your own money, you should not be building it, should not be asking for donations and all this. Yeah.
These but are their individual comments.
With our cultivation understanding, we know that actually all these are opportunities for practitioners to participate in all this building. It is for the merits of for the person and also for the human consciousness. For the good of the many too. So I hope with my understanding too, which like I say, I wish to ask for forgiveness for my previous misunderstanding of what all these purposes are for.
But you don't have to worry so much about that, because when it comes to like visiting this place and making offering or what, that's why I'm very careful. If I don't know the people behind it, I don't make offering. I just show my respect and rejoice, and I silent and I feel, that's it. But more important is you have to understand the people behind the organizers, the people who are responsible for all this way place. Because sometimes, if we are not thankful, not careful, there are some, not to say don't have. Because the committee that run the thing may not be true practitioner of the way, cultivator of the way. Then there are also incidents of certain type of newly established, I think, way place or temple. Or I was told some. They actually started group of lay people they wanted. Then they were very keen. Then they start to raise funds and all those things. But when the money become big, they actually starts to have its effect on people. So if you are not careful, then you will hear of internal like conflict or argument already. And the committee also start to have certain type of take side and all those things, which are very common in most temples or most of these way place. Unless it's run by genuine people who know how to actually set up the committee and develop this in a very wholesome and sincere manner. Then there was one which was, I think, quite bad. Was they even rope in the monks to come and become advisor. Then after that, the monk also voluntarily resigned and say, I got nothing to do with it. Means he must have said something inside there. Not correct. So we have to be careful. But like I said, no harm. If you want to make offering, donation, if you feel it's okay. The moment you develop that understanding, you make your offering, that's it. Yeah, this is nothing negative. But if people who behind it are not so sincere or not doing it properly, that is their own coming. But don't be too gullible to like a lot of people make that mistake. They just want to do merits. Like the fifth patriarch, Wu Zhu, he mentioned. All this, if you don't cultivate, these are tinted merits. Although they have its efficacy and meaning and contribution. But if you don't cultivate, you keep on wanting to do all this, then you have to find out for yourself whether without the Dhamma you can do it well or not. Because by nature, without somebody spiritual with the Dhamma behind, all this type of thing will fail, sooner or later fail. It's not easy. You can go and find out. Everywhere got its own politics. Even the Buddhist community, I don't think you can deny that. Many places. Because sometimes I go and give talk. I just go and give sharing. And sometimes I hear here and there story and all those things. I just have an open mind. Of course, I just let things be. Because to me, it's normal. If all these places got no problem, means everybody are well cultivated, good practitioner. But very rare. These type of beings are very rare. So most of these places have its own politics and all those things. But we cannot like wants to comment or not to comment. We have no point. All these are causes and conditions that already manifest and evolve. That's why the individual, they are just the way they are. They have their own karma. That's why I always advise people, even as parents, we shouldn't cling, attach, and grab because we say they are our children. Children means what? The Dhamma is you do your duty, understand? Yeah, they are your children. They have their karma, understand? They have their own condition. So if that is the one that is showing up, you have to accept the condition and the reality. Because many things, like today, my wife told me something he heard at the back of our house. A lot of families have problems. Their children have problems. Among spouses, they have problems. Sometimes it's financial problem, health problem. So it's a pitiful, the daughter cried because of, I think, financial problem and all those things. Then on the other hand, the mother also, I think, not easy. So all this, they were manifest. But if you attach and cling and don't have the Dhamma to accept this reality and move on to resolve it amicably, you are going to get yourself entangled. This is the first noble truth reality. So when this reality hit, we need to understand, even though it's our children or our siblings or even our parents or whatever, if conditioned like that, things will be like that. If they can understand, we can do something to help. We will advise, we will do our duty, but there is a limit. But sometimes it's the coming, and you can see, you just let it be. Yeah. So we need to understand it deeply. That's why even our own children, our own siblings, our own parents or loved ones, we also have to accept this reality. What more temple politics and other politics within the religious community and all those things? Just let things be. Observe, develop the understanding, and avoid negativity. So my advice is you find out for yourself, then don't be too gullible. Don't be a good-hearted fool. Don't be too eager to do merits and forget about the cultivation. Cultivation is more important. Once you develop the cultivation, you have the Dhamma, then you know how to help out in all these type of things. That's why our Kayanamita group was the same. Those who volunteer and help, they are people who see the beauty in this teaching, in this Dhamma, and they have benefited in certain way. That's why they are willing to sacrifice themselves and offer their service. And when they do all this activity in Dhamma work, they are full of joy, full of understanding. So these are very important understanding and beautiful sharing. So Pichi, good that you bring this up. So Sadhguru to you. So my point is to add on to what you have shared, which is very good. So all this understanding must be there. Then when we go to some of these way places, if it's a new one, like we don't know, we have to find out the people who set it up, the committee behind, and how they actually evolve all this. Then how we benefit people. Because that area is quite nicely built, actually. I do not deny that. But just now, I think Jin Hao was not even there. Jin Hao come in, he told me some story, which is, you better ask Jin Hao yourself. Because he also interact with people there. Here he knows some of them. And one of them is, I think it is better not to say anything more. We just let it be. So sometimes there are causes and conditions behind a lot of things. But for what they have done, it's already very beautiful, very wholesome. My nature rejoiced when I was there. And I can feel something. But it is a mixture of energy, if people can make use of that way place, it's very good. It can be very wholesome, very conducive. Especially the main shrine we went in, that place, the vibration is good. Then of course the stupa there is some minor vibration. Then the whole place is quite quiet, quite peaceful, quite tranquil. Just the way it's built. But I didn't see that much activity. There are some activity. Yes, I don't know the details, the program and all those things. But I saw on the notice there a lot of donation things. So you had to find out. So it's good to find out because not every place is what we think. We don't just allow our senses to deceive us. You have to feel it with your nature, and you have to find out more. Then when you're sure already, you can go all out to support and do all those things. Okay, PJ, you can continue. Yeah.
Yeah, very cool. I think a lot of the programs were interrupted with the death of the Rinpoche. I think about,
oh, is it?
Yeah,
Rinpoche
about 2 years
away.
Yes, about 2 years ago. And that's why we have his relics at the stupa. Remember that his room?
Oh, that one
was
is
the
his
Rinpoche.
Relic.
Yes.
Oh, he passed away already.
Yes.
Oh,
he was the one who is instrumental in setting up how to say
so
this
the,
place itself.
The past 7 years was him. So we are total about 9 years, they told us, 9 to 10 years that place.
Yeah.
Oh, no wonder. Now I start to understand.
So that's why
when
I
he
think
was
everything
around,
slowed down, yeah.
Yeah, when he was around, that place was quite well built.
Yeah.
Oh, no wonder. now the picture fall into place.
Yeah, Bertil, that place actually, like you say, that is very charged with energy. What kind of energy is I won't speculate.
That one separate.
Yeah?
Yeah,
yeah,
separate.
So I will
that's
talk
I
about
say mixture.
Yeah. I think I will talk about my experience itself.
Yes,
Sadhu.
Yeah.
Of course, the main hall itself, it was a very wonderful place to be.
Yeah. That place
Buddha
is very
Rupang
beautiful.
And
yeah.
The beautiful Manjushri.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, the vibration there is very conducive.
Yes,
for
the vibration
some,
is very good.
And all those things.
So,
very well built.
When we went to the Rinpoche's stupa itself, when we pay respects, Bertil, all of us were standing. I think only a few of them.
Yeah, you kneeled down, I think.
Yeah. So initially, I was standing.
Then later on, you
respect.
Kneel down.
But Bertil, something compelled me to kneel down.
Oh,
something really compelled me to kneel down. And I was so charged, Bertil. I landed up crying. It was intense. And I feel that there's probably a link or a lineage somewhere. Because my first Dharma teacher is actually Rinpoche too.
Oh, Sadhu.
Who is stationed in US.
Okay.
It was a very unconventional way of meeting him. And like I say, those days, when you talk about the Dharma, I will move away very quickly. For me to meet the Dharma, it comes in a very unconventional way.
Oh,
I met him thinking that I was going for a show or a dance show, you know. It turned out that this is actually done in a Dharma form, actually to welcome this Rinpoche to Malaysia.
Oh,
and that's how
okay.
I met him, Rajil. Strangely, after the show ended, PG Lim lined up to get his book and get him signed, Bratio.
That's not me,
Bratio.
Yeah,
I never do such things, you see.
How long ago?
I think 1 year before I went to your class, Bratio.
Oh, okay.
That's how I got introduced to the Dharma. I suppose the time is right.
That's how
I met him.
Yeah.
And of course, I pulled my dear friend Chiu Po Lien along with me.
Oh, no wonder. So all
the
links come back.
And then she in turn bring me to your class, Bratia. Okay. Last night, after we came back and all this, I was so charged, Bratia. My whole body was vibrating like the tuning fork, you know, the tuning fork when
I know.
It vibrates the whole night, really the whole night.
Yeah,
but
you have affinity, the Rinpoche.
I had a very good sleep, Ratio, for
oh,
a long
father,
time.
father.
I just
very
knock
good.
out and I had a very good sleep. The thing
Yeah,
about
yeah.
is this morning, when I was doing my puja, okay, I finished all my puja, my bodhisattva vows, and when I was saying my asking for forgiveness, Pratyo, I knew that there's another shift again.
Oh, sadhu.
Yeah, yeah. And when I do my sharing of merits, Pratyo, I really break down.
Oh,
yeah.
Sadhu.
I really cry, Pratyo.
Mm.
And with that understanding, it's like the Dharma is not one direction.
Yeah.
It is the Dharma doors are limitless.
Yes.
We can find the Dharma in different ways,
yeah,
different
yeah, yeah.
forms, you know,
yes,
and
yes.
from different people.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I do not know what I do in my past. I mean my cultivation itself, my Dharma cultivation. So I just accept what I've done previously, and then to make sure that in this cultivation itself, I ask for guidance. I ask for a lot of guidance, gratitude.
That was very important.
From,
yeah.
From all the
so that you don't
all the
debate
enlightened
anymore.
Beings to help me in this cultivation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I know that somebody listened about you.
Sadhu, sadhu.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because when there is faith, when there is sadha, when there is virya, then it can manifest things. Sadhu.
Like we say in our Dharma cultivation, I have now become much more silent, Bratio.
Yeah, can see, yeah.
Yeah, it's becoming much deeper.
Yeah,
like especially like when I do my chanting itself, or when I am reading my Dharma books.
Yes.
There seems to be a deeper understanding.
Yeah. There is a big change in you, shift.
Yeah.
Because
and,
your views, you have started to develop the straightening of the views, and you have seen how you can now correct all your earlier, what they call, just now you use the word, what? The word you use, what? And what was the word? I forgot already. The beginning of the sharing, you used the word cynical, was it?
Yeah, cynical.
Oh, cynical.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm very cynical.
You can root that one out already. Because now you will never think that direction. You will never go that way. Because you can see it already. And your understanding is already there. That's why this type of transformation is deep within. Yeah. Deep within. Yeah. Then it can root out the habitual tendency of our mundane mind, our mundane conditioning, the views, the opinion, the conditioning, all this, you can only root out after your faith has developed, your understanding has developed, then the transformation happens. Means character-wise, personality-wise, understanding-wise, will become different. You will start to straighten your view, and you will start to do things that is no longer the old way. And all those habits, cynical thinking, are all things of the earlier part before the Dhamma come to you. They will be all rooted up, and it won't arise anymore. That is the real cultivation. Otherwise, you will still force yourself to not to do that thing, not to think that way. No point, because these are all suppression, trying to control. Yeah. The real one is true understanding. It just disappears by itself. Yeah. So all these are very beautiful. Yeah. That's why you can start to see the big difference. But now you cultivate with that nature, with that understanding, that make you more sensitive. Then a lot of things that come to you is very natural. It is not through the thought and the thinking. That's why you will go through, like you say, the mother, there are many ways. We don't know in our past, you have your encounter, you have your affinity, you have also your own shortcoming, karmic thing, you know, whatever. That's why you come with that type of mixture of condition and karmic. That's why it takes you quite a while this time, but finally, you have the good parami and the good affinity, the triple gem, to end up having the right condition to meet up with the right dhamma and develop the cultivation accordingly. So all this are by no means, like they say, by accident. No, it's meant to be. The causes and conditions are already there. That's why everything falls into place. And now you will start to have the understanding to recollect and reconnect how your life earlier on when you are young end up the way you are. Then when you connect deeper, deeper and more stable, later on you will understand more things. A lot more things will unfold. Then you will start to understand how you are born into this world, under which parent, and your affinity with your needs and all those things. You will start to develop the understanding. And the Dhamma will flow and connect everything up. Then you see the joy, the beauty in all this. That's why the Dhamma way is the most amazing and wonderful way. Good. Sadhu, Fiji.
Yeah, but even like when I'm reading the, what do you call that, the essence of infinite meanings.
Wuliang Yi Ching, yeah.
Previously, when Bratia was going through, you know, it's just like we just sit there, listen, and it just goes through.
Yeah, it doesn't impact upon you. But now it's so different. Now the words, then now it becomes so different.
Even reading at a few pages, it's like there is a very different meaning to read, you know. It's like
definitely
there is a deeper understanding.
Yes.
Like, you know, all this the beauty of the Dhamma itself, I would say, Rachel.
Yes. Very true. When you have the ability, means you have the cultivation, you are on the right path. Otherwise you cannot understand what all these sutras are so abstract, especially the infinite meaning. Wuliang Yi Ching. Very few people can understand. Well, these are teachings for people who want to go the Bodhisattva way. The three chapters are very beautiful.
I remember when Bratio started this book. And they were talking about the virtues.
Virtue of great beings.
And when I listen, I go, wow, how to do all this virtue? Sounds so almost impossible.
Yeah, correct. You know? But now it's different, isn't it?
Yeah, now that I read over, I just
then your faith is already there after you experience all this, you know it's possible. No problem at all.
Yeah.
Can be done.
How it can be done or whatever way, I just leave it. You know, we are just rejoiced that there are bodhisattvas who are able to do all this wonderful things, you know. Rachel, how to say? Of course, I wish to express my gratitude to Rachel and all my teachers and all the enlightened beings for for your beautiful teaching.
Blessing, protection, guidance.
I understand that we always have to to cultivate a strong affinity
with
all the Buddhas
and
Bodhisattvas.
And the great beings.
Asking for the blessings, guidance,
protection, and guidance. Yeah.
Because in our cultivation, the path may not be as clear.
Yeah.
And with the blessings and guidance.
Yes. Yeah, this whole journey, you need them.
Yeah. Mm.
Especially the protection. The form and mind, very fragile, very easily things can go wrong. That protection very important. But their nature is different. Their nature, once you cultivate affinity, especially Kuan Yin's nature, it manifests, it really protects you because of the great compassion, the great wisdom and loving kindness of Kuan Yin. Mm. Then guidance is to guide you along so that you don't debate. So these three things, guidance, and protection. Yeah.
It's so easy to be to debate and many like you say, there are so many especially even for the Buddhist teaching, there are so many
version
or different teachers with different views and all
because
this.
Because they have their own version, method, technique, different emphasis, thought base and all those things along. Even the division within Theravada is so many. Theravada alone, so many branches and division and sect. Then after that, Mahayana, also a lot of sect, a lot of version, branches and all the division. They got different teachings everywhere. Then of course Vajrayana, another very complex one, complicated one. But so far, I think it's still okay because the Dhamma has evolved. I think following a better path. Mm. So looks like things are changing. The consciousness is evolving for the better. Mm. Even within the Theravada tradition, the Mahayana tradition, many things are moving towards the correct understanding. I realize this is happening. Not like earlier on. Earlier on, I think, during the 80s and 90s, that time. That's why after that, I did not come out to share. It was because the teaching at that time was so complicated, so mixed up and messy. But now it's easier, a lot easier. And most things are falling into places. Very good, PJ Sadhu. Yeah, you can continue.
Brother, I think the most important, like you always emphasize, the right views. The right views are so
important.
That one
is most important, yes.
Yeah, the most important.
Yeah.
And of course, that goes together with the rest of the Noble Eightfold Path.
Yeah.
If we are able to see the necessity of cultivating right views, I think we already take a very big step.
Yeah, you already avoided
the
deviation and the division. Because, like what is always explained, within the three traditions, Theravada, Mahayana, and Vajrayana, you know what are the common ones? Where all the three traditions don't argue. Four Noble Truths. Yeah. They are all the same. So why not you stick to the Four Noble Truths? Then don't allow all the other cultural thing and added thing on and all those what they call gullible things to make you confused and take sides. So you stick with the Four Noble Truths, the three turning, the essential Dhamma. Almost all traditions teach the same thing. Like you say, Noble Eightfold Path. Three right view. Kama Niyama, Citta Niyama, Dhamma Niyama. Cannot go wrong. You had these three right view. Energy field, thought base, all gone. Because you develop right view, you respect to the law of karma. come on in. They will take care of your cultivation to follow the advice of the Buddha. Because like the Buddha said, we are all born of our karma, care to our karma, heir to our karma, conditions of whatever. And we are what we are because of karma. So if karma plays such a great role in our life, what must we do? We must take care of karma. And how to take care of karma? Avoid all evil. Do good. Purify the mind. Follow the advice of the Buddha. So the first right view already nail you onto the right cultivation and the right path. Then develop the understanding of citta niyama, mind, how we function as a human, the dwelling, the paticca samuppada, the five aggregates of form and mind. Because the whole of the dwelling covers the paticca samuppada. And they are all linked to the five aggregates of form and mind. And when you understand how you function as a human being, then you will know how the mundane mind manifests and creates all this delusion, the evil roots, the spiritual faculty and the mental hindrance. How these two pair, they are opposite. When you lack the spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance arises. That's why when you have right view with regards to law of karma, law of mind, you are on the correct path already, cultivating, following the Dhamma way. Yeah. And of course, the last one is the right view with regards to all the truth that the Buddha has taught, the essential Dhamma, Dhamma Niyama. So that one is all the other essential Dhamma. Yeah. So when you link all this together, they are common to all the three traditions. That's why you won't go wrong. And especially the meditation, the fourth noble truth, the path that leads to the end of all suffering. The Buddha just mentioned, you cultivate this noble eightfold path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. So what is noble eightfold path? The three right view, followed by right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, then the four right action. Then after that, right sati and samadhi. And you have the embodiment of all this, you are incapable of evil. Because noble eightfold path is the manifestation of sila, samadhi, and panya. It's the manifestation of the cultivation of the meditation as taught by the Buddha. You cultivate this, you have the embodiment of this noble eightfold path. It will lead you to the end of all suffering. That's why this teaching is very beautiful. And like you say, you have these three right view, you won't go wrong, you won't debate. Then you won't go and seek all those thought-based things, energy field, psychic, jnana, jnana. No meaning. What you want is to develop the right understanding, the right view, the wisdom to free your mind, to liberate. Not all the special power, special what they call psychic ability and special ability to read mind, levitate, all those things. These are all not what is being taught as essential. Very good, Sadhu, easy. You bring up the good condition.
Yeah, Brother, I feel that the development of right views will eventually lead us to the development of wisdom itself, which is actually the most important aspect.
Yeah, that is the wisdom perfecta, actually, right view.
Because a lot of us are misled by a lot of things, and so like you say, when especially with the right efforts, we are walking the right path, and we can see how our mind itself and the all the defilements are virtue. Somehow we can see them so clearly now.
Once you develop the ability to be aware, you see them very clearly. They keep on manifesting. That's why then you realize the four right effort is so beautiful. It's an unending cultivation. The four right effort, especially the third and the fourth. To cultivate and perfect all the virtue, take long time. In fact, the first two, right, effort is more easy to abandon and to refine upon. These two are more easy. Then yeah, after Brazil, that,
when Brazil yeah, yeah. explain all this, it's like yeah. We are listening again and we go, oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, it's like a revision, but you must write it down so that you understand it deeply. Because this is basically what cultivation is. When you understand every Noble Eightfold Path factor is so beautiful, the field of cultivation is so extensive. Even right view itself is so extensive. Then reading to the right thought, there's a lot to cultivate about right thought. Then right speech, right livelihood. Then, of course, the way you live your life is also a very wide topic. Then the four right effort, oh, that one also a big topic. Then mindfulness also a big topic. Samadhi also a big topic. Samadhi is that nature, the stability of it, the firmness of it. So all these are very beautiful.
At the moment, I will just go until mindfulness itself, Rajiv. Samadhi,
yeah,
are really important.
Yeah,
so
good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, that nature one can come
yeah.
later. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like I always say, our kilometers who have moved very fast forward, the way they cultivate and the understanding is so phenomenal, Brazil.
Yes.
especially like Sister Alicia. It's just like every day is something new. And
yeah, yeah, yeah.
When she says that daily life is the true cultivation,
yeah.
it really shows by itself. So
yeah.
From that itself, you know, I used to reflect why she used to say that. But now,
yeah.
For myself, I can see that it is true. Even with our simple way of living life, even if I don't go out in the apartment itself, you know, you can
witness
yeah.
a lot of things.
And
yeah.
You can, the way you interact with your neighbors and all this,
yeah.
and the way our mind, actually the way of our mind, gratitude is,
yeah, yeah.
There's so much to learn by itself. The
yes.
way our mind manifests things, the way we think, so much to learn. Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. That's why with mindfulness, the awareness nature can see and understand all this. That one is the one that can insight into phenomena and awaken. That one is the one that separates you from being drawn by the heedless thinking mind, with the delusion behind. The awareness wakes you up, separate you from the mundane thinking. And when it separates you from the mundane thinking, this awareness nature is the pure energy, your nature's true energy, the pure energy, the awareness. That is the one that can allow you to separate from the heedless mundane thinking mind. That's why you need to cultivate and stabilize the awareness nature within. Then when that one become more and more dominant, the mundane mind become weaker and weaker, and finally it just cannot manifest, and it will collapse, it will cease. So all this understanding, they will unfold. Sadhu,
yeah,
very good.
I was listening to one of your talks, Brad, here. Very clearly you were saying about being conscious of life,
yeah.
and the awareness is two different things. It is
yeah.
very good, Brad, here.
Yeah, that talk is very, very good. Huh? That talk, in fact, a lot of people have listened to it. Even a lot of people outside our Kayemi town. Now, I think it's 2,000 over. That one, the difference between awareness and consciousness. That one, very few people can understand.
Yeah. With that, I think I'll end my sharing.
Okay. Yeah, it's getting late,
yeah.
It's 10:35. So
yeah.
Let us rejoice with the good sharing by Sister PJ. Yeah? Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu.